For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Tut Underwood. 90 years ago, panic gripped the New York Stock Exchange as the market crashed on Black Tuesday, October 29, 1929. In 4 days, the Dow Jones average dropped 25% and investors lost $30 billion, 10 times the federal budget. The Roaring Twenties, a decade of prosperity and optimism, was replaced by the Great Depression. Unemployment was 25%, and many more families were affected. USC economist Dr. Douglas Woodward said there was a mini crash in March, but the market bounced back, partly because investors could now buy stocks on margin, meaning they could buy lots of stock with only 10 or 20% down, borrowing the balance from their brokers.
But then in September, that stopped. The brokers don't want to lend anymore to your retail investor, and the big money, the millionaires, were getting out of the market too. And so once the market starts going into decline, the brokers are calling back their loans and people have to get out of the market and it's going down even further. People began to see this, so it was fear at first, and then panic starts to set in by October.
On Thursday, October 24th, the exchange fell 2%. The following Monday, the Dow plummeted 13%.
So when the market opened on October 29th, 1929, Black Tuesday, they say that the opening bell couldn't even be heard over sell, sell, sell shouting. Everybody was selling. It was panic. And that's when the crash happened. So there was no one shock or event, but it's a cumulative process beginning in March 1929 that led to the crash.
The market fell another 12% on Tuesday, but it didn't bottom out for 3 years, hitting an astounding low of just 41 in 1932. But USC historian Lauren Sklaroff said despite the images of universal poverty, a minority of Americans actually was completely untouched by the crash and its results.
The images of people standing in bread lines, they are representative of a sense that two-thirds of Americans were affected by the Great Depression in very, very significant ways. But there were some people who their companies were still able to stay afloat. They had saved enough money that they were able to rely on that if profits fell. But for a lot of Americans, of course, that wasn't the case. And so, particularly in the rural areas, those families were deeply affected.
The crash would lead to many changes on Wall Street, but also in the political order.
Politically, of course, it led to mobilizing for a new kind of responsibility from the federal government. And as a result, led to a huge political realignment in the election of Franklin Roosevelt. And for people who had their entire life savings wiped out because there was no insurance for banks, there was a real shock in terms of how the government would, in some ways, turn a blind eye to this.
Woodward considered whether the crash could have been avoided.
We should have seen that happen because it was unsustainable for the stock market to grow at such a faster rate in terms of valuation than the real economy's ability to support it. I think now we can see that better, and we've got better data. They didn't even recognize what was going on. Even the best economists in the 20s, to keep a steady economy, we need a sound monetary policy, Federal Reserve, and we did learn a lot as a result of this.
The main lesson to be learned from the crash, which both scholars hope modern policymakers have learned, was
never get overconfident. When there's overconfidence, too much optimism, if it's too good to be true, it probably is.
This report also can be heard on SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Tut Underwood.